T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He has become one of the most recognizable faces in the call to fully fund the September 11th Victim Compensation Fund. Today, retired NYPD Detective Lou Alvarez, who's now in hospice care, spoke with our Peter Haskell.
First of all, I've got to ask you, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling very good. I'm not in any type of pain. Any needs, wants that I need, they're here to accommodate me.
Why did you want to do this interview and the other interviews that you're doing?
Because we need to get the word out. People forget. And I don't want people to forget. So I was lucky enough. I don't know how it happened. Maybe it was a speech in Congress that brought attention to me. And I said, well, let's use that attention to keep the fire burning.
You know, that speech, that testimony in front of Congress was very powerful. And you talked about the fact that you were scheduled to have your 69th round of chemo. Oh. Why was it so important for you to go to Washington to do that?
Because there's going to be guys after me who are going to have it worse. And I just want them to know what they're in for, what they're going to go through. And if I can do it, they can do it also.
But there are other guys out there. You can pass the baton and say, look, I've done this before. I've done it a few times. Let the next guy do it. Why was it so important for you to say, I'm sick, I don't care, I'm going to D.C., I'm speaking my piece?
It was important to me because I've been involved. When I first got sick, there's so many people that helped me out. Jeannie Kelly, who is the coordinator for the World Trade Center Health Program, helped me make sure I was signed up for the program so I would have my health benefits. Matt McCauley, the attorney, he got me my compensation from the Victims Compensation Fund. So I felt that I owed them. I owed them my life because they made my life so much simpler. Even with cancer, I didn't have to worry about anything else. I knew they were taking care of me.
Why do you think this continually gets held up in Congress? What is it that they don't get?
You know what they don't get? Is that it's politics. It's the Sandlot baseball game. No, I want this. I'm playing this field. Let's work together. Let's work together. We have one specific goal in mind, is to take care of the first responders who justly deserve to be compensated and to have the peace of mind that if they get sick, it's going to be okay. You're going to have your benefits. So Congress, they have to get their act together. They really do. It's got to be stopped, tit for tat, I'll give you this if you give me that. Give us what we justly deserve. Nothing more, nothing less. Just help the first responders.
Seems like it shouldn't be that hard.
That shouldn't be that hard at all. You want to pass a transportation bill, they'll have it done in a day. But what is so difficult of taking care of your patriot Americans who ran in to do what they had to do to save people's lives. What is so difficult about that?
If you had a chance to talk to Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, what would you tell him?
I would tell him, sir, we have to put partisan politics aside and take care of the first responders. Okay? That's the priority. Let's take care of the first responders. Everything else can be put up at the wayside and it could wait. Okay, like I said, I'm not big on politics. I don't know all the bills that are out there waiting to get signed and everything. But this has to be the number one bill. It has to be.
What's your message to the other guys who worked at the World Trade Center who either are sick or might someday get sick?
Get checked out. Number one, get yourself checked out. Because I am the prime example of the guy who thought he was the big bad police officer and nothing was going to happen to me. And 16 years later, I'm sitting in hospice. So they have to get themselves checked out.
So you weren't in the program then until you got sick?
Right, that's correct.
Had you thought about it?
No.
Never thought about it?
No. Didn't even cross my mind. You know, I was a gym rat. Always went to the gym, took care of myself. I'm not sure if you saw the pictures of the, the pictures of the before and after. I mean, I was in pretty decent shape. And now I've shriveled up into, half of what I used to be.
You know, I have to ask you, we spoke about a week ago, and you said your wife had said to stop with the treatments, and you insisted you wanted to continue. What made you decide that this was enough?
I pretty much had, it's not enough for me. I'm still working. I'm still advocating, even if it's from my bed, I'm still advocating, for first responders. So, my job's not over yet. I can't throw on the bomb suit anymore and take the package apart, but I can help other responders from my bedside.
The job that you did, what did it mean to you?
Which job?
The bomb squad, being a detective.
Oh, it is a dream come true. Dream come true. The bomb squad is an elite unit in the NYPD. Out of 35,000 guys, there's 40 of us. And you walk down the street and people see bomb squad patch on your chest and then be like, whoa, First of all, they'd be looking for the bomb. Second of all, it's one of my proudest achievements is being able to be in the bomb squad.
I could see that pride in your face.
Yeah.
Back to 9/11 and the weeks after there, you were part of the Bucket Brigade. When you look back and think about what you were doing then, what do you think about that now?
It's kind of hard. It's a little foggy sometimes, but all I was thinking about is praying that we'd find people alive. That's what I wanted to do, is find people alive. And then when we knew it went from a rescue to a recovery mission, then your goal, just as important, was find remains so families would have something, even if it was a toothbrush, something that they could hold on to and say, this was my husband's or this was my wife's. Give them some sort of comfort.
The fact that there was no protective breathing equipment, how does that make you feel now?
Well, still angry about it. And, you know, that we were lied to. But like I said previously, at this point it really doesn't matter in the sense that we would have gone in it anyway.
Why do you say that?
Because that's just the way our makeup is. There's people in there that need help. We have to go in there and help them.
That's what the cops and firefighters do.
That's what we do.
And you're still fighting for those folks today.
Yes, I am.
What message do you hope that sends to your kid, that they see you fighting to the bitter end?
I hope they're proud of me. I want them to know that when you start something, you finish it. No matter how difficult it is, you give it your best shot and you keep your word. Your word is your bond. So,
what do you tell them about the fact that you did this work understanding that there were risks with the air the way that it was? Is that hard to explain?
I don't bring it up too much. You know, my oldest son, David, he's 29, he understands. But my other sons, you know, 16-year-old, 19, I really don't get into it too much. I tell them I was down there trying to help people, but I don't get into specifics about it.
How do you want people to remember Lou Alvarez?
I want people to remember Lou Alvarez as someone who's played a small part in getting the VCF bill signed so that one day, God forbid, another first responder falls sick, he knows he has help. He has help there. So that's how we want to be remembered.
The 52-year-old spoke while holding the hands of his parents. Ida Alvarez says this shouldn't be about politics, but justice.
You know, my son sometimes hides from us many of the very tremendous work that he was doing in order not to cause us any worries or any pain. And lately, with this sickness and what he is doing now, we have discovered how much he has done to help his co-worker, their first responder. And what is he doing to convince the government that all the people that has been sick from 9/11, not only the police, but the co-workers, the construction people, all that has been sick, needs to be helped. And I don't see it as a matter of only the government. I see that, you know, many of American citizens, many of us, has pledged allegiance to the United States of America. And justice, and I'm not going to reset it, but one that we pledge for is justice for all Americans. And those people need justice to be done by the government and by everyone. They need our help, and we should help. That's what it's all about, helping human beings. So not a matter of government, not a matter of the police department only, but a matter of every citizen, making sure that whoever they vote for, we have a saying, right? Whoever they vote for in the coming election are people that are working for justice for all.
When you see him continuing to fight, what do you think?
It's a mix of pride, and we have a tremendous pain in our heart because of the effort he is doing. But it's pride. We have always been very proud of our children. They are good people, I don't have to tell. But right now, who is going to tell us immigrants in this country that came with nothing that one of our sons is going to be as a hero?
Alvarez is surrounded by his family, including his 29-year-old son, David. What do you make of the fact that your dad is still pushing to get this bill passed despite his physical condition?
I've always been proud of my father. I've always been proud to be his son, and I am even more so now, seeing the strength and tenacity and the perseverance that he's shown in making this his mission.
Have you said to him, "Dad, give it a rest, you know, enough already"?
A couple of times. I've, you know, wanted to make sure that he's comfortable, that he is getting the rest that he needs, that he's making peace and seeing the people that he wants. But I know that this is really important to him, and I'm here every step of the way to support him.
How does it make you feel seeing what he's doing?
I'm amazed. I'm stunned. And I've told him on a couple of occasions already that I have every intention of helping any way that I can to help continue this.
You know, it's not just him that's fighting this, it's the rest of his family. What has this whole thing been like for you?
You know, I've... It's obviously been very difficult, you know, but I'm more at peace knowing that he's at peace and knowing that he is feeling some accomplishment in getting this done.
I asked him this question. I'll ask you, what do you see as his legacy?
Just as he said, just being a small part in this, in getting this important legislation passed, and getting all the first responders, everyone who's been affected by 9/11, the proper care and attention that they need.
The fact that this very personal situation is almost political, does that make it more difficult? Does it bring comfort because he's got this cause he's fighting for?
You know, we try to take politics out of it because it's not political. It shouldn't be. It's a human issue. It's an American citizen issue. You know, these are people who fought for our country, who fought to bring the city and the rest of the nation back to some level of stability. And, you know, it's been 18 years, and we're still needing to fight for this, fight for the getting them the proper care and support that they need.
If you don't mind me asking, you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but when you think back to post 9/11, so you were 11?
I was 11 years old.
And so your dad is out every day and he's doing what he's doing. What do you remember about that?
I remember 9/11. I remember that day. I remember being in school and you know, I remember briefly watching news coverage on the television, and I remember the stress of knowing that my father, who was with the NYPD, was very obviously down there. And, you know, he did the best he could to, you know, give me some comfort in knowing that he was okay, you know, checked in and everything. But, you know, it was a very difficult time.
Seeing Lou in this condition is difficult for the family. So what is this like for you? Two things. To see your brother in this condition, and second of all, still continuing to push for this.
I'm very proud of my brother for pushing for what he believes will be his legacy, not only to all first responders, but to his family and to his children and to his sons. The fight that he has put up, we hope will forever inspire his sons to see that their father pushed through with something that they started, no matter how difficult it was. He's a low-key guy, like he has said before, and this is not him, but he realizes now the people are listening, so he needs to tell his story, both for him now that we're losing him, and for his buddies that he has lost, and for those that are going to get sick in the future. That's always been his push. It was originally about realizing that he was down there with a lot of fellow police officers, EMS, NYPD, construction workers, everybody that helped an America that was on their knees stand back up. He realized that they were starting to get sick. So the first part of his agenda almost 3 years ago was making sure his buddies, hey, get signed up for the World Trade Center Compensation Fund. In case you do get sick, you'll have your health coverage. Your family will be taken care of if, God forbid, it does get to a serious point. He was very strong to some of his friends to go get their physicals, get their yearly physicals, go to the doctor, get checked out. And he has received numerous calls from people, fellow first responders, thanking him because they found something small that would have turned into a big problem, whether it was colon cancer or lung cancer or something else. That so he's a lifesaver. He saved a few lives. He continues to save lives today. That was the first part of his messages. Get signed up for the World Trade Center Fund and go get checked out. Second part of his push is when he met guys like John Stewart and John Feel and Matt McCauley, Feel Good Foundation, the Ray Pfeiffer Fund, all these great organizations that now are pushing for the bills. And it became his second family because he met a lot of guys, not just NYPD, not FDNY, EMS, construction workers, the widow of a construction worker that died a month ago that came with her two children to testify in Washington, D.C., the student at Stuyvesant High School that was in high school who were told to come back 2 weeks after the towers fell. It was these kind of people that inspired my brother to continue the fight and join them down in Washington. He isn't even the loudest one out of the four of us, never mind in a packed room, but he certainly made his voice heard in Washington, D.C., and it was guys like John Stewart that fed over and put a face to it. And my brother put a face to it. Everybody's Lou Alvarez that was down there. Everybody could be Lou Alvarez that was down there. Whether you were in construction, whether you were a cop going in to help. And when they went down, when the fire department, firefighters went down, there were reinforcements, okay? It didn't scare the rest of them away because their buddies were going down. It just said, hey, we got to get in there. And they did, and they did. And now so many years later, as my brother testified and as he has said in interviews, it took 15, 16 years for him to get sick. We don't know how long we need a bill for, but it has to be more than 4 or 5 years. Where we have to keep dragging these witnesses that are fighting for their lives, fighting for their families, fighting for their, deciding whether to get medical treatment or pay the month's mortgage. It's ridiculous we have to keep dragging them down to Washington, D.C. to make this bill go through. So Lou has inspired us from the beginning. We love him. We're a very close-knit family. That's very important to us to be there for him. But now that we understand his mission and how important this legacy is for him, both for his children, his sons, his wife, and for his fellow responders, we're giving up this time that we are blessed with, and we have discussed in our family how blessed we are to still have our brother sitting in a chair, coherent, and be able to continue to testify and be witness to the things that he's been through to help other people. He needs that. America needs that. It's so important that it's a bipartisan issue. It's not something that's on the left side of the aisle or on the right side of the aisle. It doesn't matter if it's red or blue. Okay? It's about being America. These are the guys that brought America back off their knees. Wasn't about whether they were Republican or whether they were Democratic or anything else. Didn't matter what religion they were. Didn't matter what race, creed. They brought America back, and we're proud of them. I was a detective for 31 and a half years with Suffolk County Police Department. And our paths kind of were the same, but he was in the greatest city in the world. Not in America, the greatest city in the world. And if we can't take care of the guys that brought back the greatest city in the world, who can we take care of? And it's not just our city. It's the world's city. It's the world's nation. Guys getting sick all over the country. All over the country. They all poured in. They poured into the Pentagon. They poured into Shanksville. They poured into New York. They made it so that we could all be proud of our country again and not scared. So this needs to get done.
I want to ask him one other thing. You were in D.C. with Lou. I don't know if I want to ask you what you learned watching him during that time in D.C., but what did you see? What struck you about the way that he not only testified but dealt with his illness, making the trip and all of that?
Well, he had asked me a month before if I would drive him down. Because of his condition, he's not allowed to fly. So we got a comfortable vehicle, and he said if I didn't take him down, somebody else would, or he would crawl there if he had to. Very proud to see him in Washington, D.C. I got to sit right behind him. They were good enough to let me sit within the gallery and witness, and it was just the greatest thing in the world to watch. And the saddest thing in the world to watch every witness, including John Stewart and Lieutenant O'Connell from the fire department, the widow of the construction worker, the student, the doctor, the head of the fund, all say, hey, there's nothing wrong with this fund. There's checks, balances, there's never been any fraud. It's saved a lot of people's lives. To be able to be on the second row watching my little brother was a miracle.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.